Our scripture today is found in the book of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full.
Lord, we thank you today just for the chance to gather again in your presence. We thank you for your word that is living bread and water and sustenance for each one of us. And we thank you for this teaching that reminds us that at the end of the day, ultimately, we are to abide, to remain, to draw close to you in order that you would do great things in and through your church. So give us grace to receive a word in that line from you today, and then to just live it out loud with love and truth and grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I think of this idea of being chosen to abide as Jesus is teaching today on the true vine, I suppose you could reference many scriptures or stories or even other teachings, specifically in the New Testament, but even in the Old Testament, of Christ in order to get a picture of this title, chosen to abide. What is it? And what does it look like? And then the other question that comes to mind, do people even really care? Well, the reality is, if we claim him as Lord and Savior, we do need to know about it. In fact, we need to know more than just knowing about it. We need to experience what abiding is. And so there's two points I want us to consider this morning as we think of John's text in this gospel. First of all, the idea of good pruning. Good pruning, we can abide and we can see results, which is the essence of the heart of Christ for our lives. It's a reality. It's not just a lofty ideal. And then secondly, bad pruning, or the idea that we can decide not to abide and experience other results. There is no in-between. There is one or the other that Jesus gives. And so what must Jesus' heart for you and I look like today? We want to see an image of that from this text. Well, first, I believe today that Jesus calls us to be pruned, which is something we don't often think about, especially if you're not into horticulture or gardening or those kinds of things. But he calls us, in a sense, to be reshaped, remade, reworked in order to come fully, more fully into his image. This is the teaching he gave to his disciples, but he gives it to us today. And as Matthew's gospel states, but you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And we hear this verse and we cringe and almost withdraw because we know we're not perfect. We're not called to be perfect human beings, but we are called to be perfected in divine love. And so I believe this is where Jesus is given. This in and of itself is the foundation of the New Testament teaching of the word of life. It's not about getting to heaven, though that will be unimaginable and a part of the package, if you will. It's not about pretending to be perfect by trying our best and acting our best when others are looking. It's all about allowing Christ to be our only source for all we need in this life. And so Jesus' teaching today is about a continual asking for his heart in me and his heart in you, and then allowing him to express that through you and me in ministry, in all of life's circles. It's about receiving what only God and Christ can reveal to me, not physically, mentally, emotionally, but spiritually. And when I receive that, all those other areas will be affected: my mind, my emotions, and even my body, for Christ's sake, will be affected. See, it's about abiding in what he intentionally again refers to as the true vine, not just any vine. A little bit of background with that. In the Old Testament, you may be familiar, but God called his people out to be the vine. Israel is referred to often in the Old Testament as the vine of God, and he's the gardener or the vine dresser. And so Jesus' implication here is he's teaching to these religious leaders is the fact that as soon as he says, I'm the true vine, there were some hackles that went up. There was some resistance. There was some saying that he's referring to the fact that there has not been a vine yet that has succeeded in God's calling. And Jesus shows up and says, I am the true vine. I will not fail you. I will not fall or falter, and you can trust me. But you are the branches. And so the vine gives sustenance to the branches. Some false vines will come. Some false vines have already come, but I am the true vine, so listen to my teaching. Now, how can we apply that to our lives today? Well, some false vines truly could be things even such as our job, our country, our personal goals and dreams. These are not bad things. In fact, these are good things, but they're not the best things, which in themselves, if we try to draw our energy or our life from them, will eventually fail us. They could even be our family, believe it or not, even our church could be a bad vine if that's what we seek to draw our life and energy from, because Christ requires being first of all in all areas of our lives. And then we find life to give and live in church, family, country, and every other area of our life when Christ is the source. In his devotional, Stay Close to the Vine, Max Lucado states this: God says to you and to me, you can be fruitful, but I'm going to have to clip some diseased leaves out of your life. Arrogance, vain ambitions, bad relationships, dangerous opportunities, revenge. Does God take this process lightly? I don't think so. John 15:2 says, he cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. So what are we to do? He raises the question. We branches on the vine, what is our response? Well, an answer that commonly is given at this point is the imperative, bear fruit. But we can't do that. You don't see apples out there straining and trying to grow red and pop onto the branch, do you? It doesn't happen. We're not called to do that. He goes on to say, but in the right response, if a branch is fruitful, does it help if the gardener demands, if the branch is fruitless, does it help if the gardener demands fruit? Please note, the branch cannot make fruit. You and I cannot make fruit. Jesus says, remain in me. Remain in my love. If any remain in me and I remain in them, they produce fruit. Amen. That's our task. That's our calling. It's clear, stay close to the vine. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, Jesus longs for his disciples to have a spiritual heart, one that's sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, one that's open to be moved or redirected or taught or guided or even stayed in a place however the Spirit is leading. Where are those places that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that something great has taken place in your life because of Christ's heart for and in you? Where are those places? As it comes to your mind, if you have one, praise God for it today, that he's led you into that place and he's given you that experience in your life. Sometimes though the thing that God prunes with always is His Word. And sometimes that Word cuts and it cleanses and it painfully heals us, it prunes us. And so today, Jesus' Word offers hope and comfort. It offers a challenge afresh for us because it opens us to a reminder that Jesus, even Jesus, had to stay connected to the source. He opens with Scripture saying that today, that even Jesus had to abide in the love and the presence of the Father in order to fulfill His life's calling. Don't miss that, because if Jesus had to go to lonely places and pull away for times of prayer and to be refilled so He could pour Himself out again, we have to do the same in this life. Jesus says, "I am the true vine and My Father is the gardener." It's not by chance that Jesus points out that the Father gives life through His presence with Him. So what does a good gardener do? Do we have any gardeners willing to admit it? Yeah, there's a couple. Thank you. All right. So what do good gardeners do? Do they just, you know, this morning they said prune some things, fertilize, prepare the soil, don't go in with a chainsaw whacking everything down. You got to be delicate sometimes. Take care you don't chop everything off. You search and you find the things that need to be cut back. It's a process of being gentle and patient and caring, and Jesus passes on to His own what He sees the Father doing in His life to the one who would follow. So where is Jesus tending the needs of your heart right now? Where are those places where He may be lifting up and cleaning off, or maybe kind of painfully cutting back, or helping to produce fruit? Where are those places? What season are you in? Because we have all the seasons. Well, maybe not in Western New York. Have about 3.5 sometimes. 2. Okay. Long ones. But all of us in this place today are in some season, if you will. We all have them. Some may be in the winter right now, and it's cold and dark, and things don't seem to be growing like you would like for them to, but God is there. God has not left. God has not walked away. In fact, it may be that He trusts you enough to leave you in that place of growth where you feel like He's gone, but He's not. And some might be here today in that season of spring where things are starting to get colorful and growing and stuff's happening and God is on the move and you see it and you know it and you're stepping into that. While others may be in the summer and it's hot, and there's challenges, but they're good, and it's good to be doing them. And others may be in fall right now where some things are being removed and taken away, but it's for His good and His glory that He's doing that right now in your life. We're all somewhere along that path if we're abiding, if we're remaining, if we're next to the one who is our source. See, I'm amazed at the depth of love Christ shows in this revealing text. If you consider the fact that it's probably more appropriate a text as we get closer to Easter, because it's the very last week before Jesus will go to the cross. It's the last discourse, if you will. In these 3 chapters here from 14, 15, 16, maybe into 17, 4 chapters, Jesus is beginning to unpack what's getting ready to happen to His disciples. And rather than being somber, self-focused in such a way that he's feeling sorry for himself, he's building up those that he's leaving behind. And he's reminding them that I will leave, but the Spirit will come, so abide in the one that I will give to you. He's encouraging them to the last chapter of this life in the flesh, if you will. And so he reminds them that he abides in all circumstances, and by faith and by obedience, he asks you and I, even today, to do the same with him. Because honestly, when he says without him, you can do nothing, that's the heart of the message today. The other side of that coin is with him, we can do amazing things in Christ Jesus. So Jesus says to this group of followers, take heart. You have already been pruned, he says, where I imagine some of them are like, I'm glad that's over with, whatever that means. I don't want to be pruned. But he says, according to my word, you have already been pruned for greater faithfulness. How? Because of the word that I have given to you. Well, what word had he given them? That if they abide in him, if they remain in him, if they stay with him, they would see fruit. And it wouldn't be their own doing. Let me ask this morning, what word has the Lord laid on your heart recently in order to bear fruit? Where has he been trimming away those areas that hinder fruitfulness? Jesus' word of remaining or abiding seemed simple enough, but unfortunately, as with this group of disciples, he knew that there would be temptations to walk away, just as we have just sang together as a church. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my life and seal it. Seal it for your courts above. What tempts you today to deny Christ? Now, that's not a question to shame us, but to get us into a place of abiding and realize if there's something that is tempting me, whether it's from the enemy or the world or my flesh or anything else, to deny Christ, I need to allow him to have that and confess it and receive forgiveness and allow him to care for those areas that are hard to let go of, the soil that he needs to tend to in my life. So why abide? Well, it's been noted that abide is a where word, not a swear word, but a where word, a location word. It's stated that it's a where word. We abide where the Lord gathers us. We abide in this sanctuary every time we come to worship, where two or three of us are gathered in his name. We abide. It's a when word. It includes time when the presence of the indwelling Christ is known in the wondrous fullness of deep down joy. Abiding takes its strength from Christ, who went to the cross for all of us in our sins of perfidy, which is just a word that means deceitfulness. The author goes on to say, now that he is arisen, abiding rests on belonging. He in us, we in him. Everything changes when abiding is not an abstract ideal, but a response to his offer. I like that image because it's got to get beyond my head to my heart. It's got to get beyond being an abstract ideal, but a reality that Christ abides in me. Christ abides in you when you follow, when you remain. And so when we abide in Christ, we may still be in the same place. We may still be in the same position. We may find ourselves not moved anywhere in this life. Circumstances and locations may not change. In fact, they may get worse. Matthew 5 says, blessed are you when you are persecuted in my name. But it's a where word because attitudes and approaches always change. You cannot come into the presence of the living Christ, see him for who he truly is, and not be moved to become something you've never experienced on your own. You cannot. It just doesn't happen. Now, you can come into his presence and deny his request of you, just like the rich young ruler. We know the story of the rich young ruler who came and he had all the answers down pat. He had followed the commands to a T. And he had done everything until Jesus said, then surrender all. Give me all you have and come follow me. And we know the story that he walked away sad and Jesus did not chase after him. But he let him go. You can see him in his essence and truth and even betray him just like Judas. I can't imagine staying in the presence of Jesus as long as he did and learn his teachings and see his activity and his healing touch and be a part of that whole ministry and in the end be able to betray him. You can do either of these by denying, but you cannot come and sit on a fence not deciding. It's got to be one way or the other. And if you come surrendering to him as Lord, you bear fruit. Like it or not, see it or not, you will bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And that's what he's calling us to today. The fruit most likely being what we know the Apostle Paul lists in Galatians. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, kindness, goodness, self-control, gentleness. And I'm sure there's others we can add to that list. They don't come on our own accord. They come from the Spirit in us. So on our own, these don't come naturally, folks. We may be able for a season work up an effort to live into a few of these and to produce some self-made fruit for a while, but only by remaining and abiding in Christ do we see this fruit as a selfless endeavor to serve our Lord by serving others. Much fruit you will produce if you abide and have a heart for Christ. J.C. Ryle, who was a famous Bible commentator, explains, "To abide in Christ means to keep a habit of constant close communion with Him, to be always leaning on Him, resting on Him, pouring out our hearts to Him, and using Him as our fountain of life and strength, as our chief companion and best friend. To have His word abiding in us is to keep His sayings and precepts continually before our memories and mind, and to make them a guide for our actions and the rules for our daily contact." It's all about Jesus. There is no greater word of faith, hope, and love for this day, if you will, than simply abide. It's a word that we don't use often, remains probably one we say more often, but on the other hand, we have to take a moment to address the fact that Jesus did not stop there. He's adamant to point out that there is to be another type of cutting away, of pruning, if you will. It's a pruning of separation for the one who does not choose to abide, to not draw life and breath and spiritual nurture from the true vine. For this one, there will be a fruitless experience, and they will do nothing in this life worth doing. It's a fruitless, futile existence ending in death, spiritual separation, hell. No one likes to be judged, but the gospel is clear on the fact that there will be judgment for those who do not abide in Christ. Well, Pastor Eric Reed raises a good question, and I'll wrap up today with this for you and for myself to take with us. As he says, "Are you eager to say with David, King David, earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. Earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you." He goes on to state, "Abiding has a continual hour by hour nature to it, a constant looking to Jesus through the scriptures. If we could avoid gospel amnesia and remember His grace, we could barely stand an hour's absence from Him. To abide in Christ daily requires dependence upon the Holy Spirit, in which we do three things. Number one, walk by faith. Two, spend focused time. And three, engage in intentional actions." He says we daily preach the gospel to ourselves. That's walking by faith. We plan to abide throughout our days. That's focused time. And we read scripture, we pray, we live in community with one another and with others, and we fight sin. That's intentional actions. We do this as we live dependent upon the Holy Spirit to bring us closer to Christ. And so to be in Christ means to have a new legal standing and a new relational orientation. We do not solely want to be made right with God. We want to be with God. What an amazing thought. We don't just want to stand right with God. We want God. We are new creations in Christ, freed from sin and worldly pursuit to abide in Him. And He gives us what we need to pursue this by giving us Himself. Jesus says, "Abide in me." He gives us Himself daily. May the Holy Spirit, he says, spark in us a want for more of Christ, and may we earn with holy urgency to know the depths and riches and love of Christ grasped through abiding. Amen. Well, let me close with one final question that I came across recently, a simple question that I believe is worth considering here today, and that is, how do we glorify God? How do we glorify God? It's noted we glorify God not primarily by going to church, singing praise songs and old hymns. Though we do glorify Him in that, we don't primarily. We glorify God not primarily by saying our prayers in the morning and at night, though He gets glory in that. We glorify God not primarily of talking Christian talk. The primary way that you and I bring glory to God is by bearing much fruit. not on our own, because that's impossible. The very definition of being a Christian is one who bears fruit for Christ. God is glorified through us when we bear fruit lovingly and compassionately. And so my challenge to myself and each one of us here today as we go, as you will go in some form or fashion and celebrate a happy Valentine's Day soon, I pray that you abide and you bear much fruit and you bring glory to God just by being faithful and remaining in the vine. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the reminder that without you, we're lost and we can do nothing. But in Christ Jesus, it's amazing what things can happen in and through our own willingness to remain. Not necessarily to do good works, even though that's a wonderful thing. Not necessarily to study hard, to pray harder, even though you call us to those things, but just simply to remain in you. And so, Lord, I pray today as we prepare to close out this worship and to go about our own business, that we, your gentle voice will remind us by the power and presence of your Spirit that your greatest call for us is to bear fruit by remaining in you. Open our eyes and our hearts to the simplicity of that act, knowing that it's not simple and it's not always easy, but in you it is always fruitful and possible. And so lead us, guide us, touch us, transform us, and send us for your glory in Christ's name. Amen.